Well, good evening, everyone. My name's Matt, and it's my great pleasure to wish you a Merry Christmas and to also extend to you my welcome to St. Paul's tonight. As we think about Christmas, I'm sure you've got many plans. Maybe plans what to do later tonight. I was talking to someone outside, actually, and they said that last year their child woke up every hour on the hour and said, "Is it time yet?" You might have plans to sleep, you might not. You might have plans to travel tomorrow. Whatever your plans are, we're just going to put them to one side at the moment as we think about a man who lived 3,000 years ago, a man called King David, and the plans that he had. We heard about them in our Bible reading. And you might have noticed that King David said he was just settling into his palace. As the Bible stories go, what had just happened before is he'd sort of crept up on a hill and he'd captured a city. And he decided to make it his capital city. He renamed it Jerusalem. People were moving into the houses. King David set up his own great big house, his palace. And in verse 1 it says, the king was settled in his palace. I can imagine David kicking back, resting, having a bit of a break, a bit of a holiday, looking round and taking stock of his life. And as he did so, he thought of something. His mind turned to the Lord. And so the very next verse, in fact, part of the first one, says that he called up the prophet Nathan and said to him, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, a palace, while the Lord God lives in a tent." And we're told that Nathan liked the vibe. He thought, "Yeah, I can see where you're going here. Two thumbs up, David. Sounds good. Whatever you're thinking about, go ahead and do it." The problem, of course, with that is Nathan was a prophet. He was supposed to tell David what the Lord wanted. He was supposed to bring David the word of the Lord. No consultation, just the thumbs up. And we're told that very night, God spoke to Nathan and said, "Let me tell you my plans." As I was walking up on stage, you might have seen the word Advent come up. And Advent is a word that is probably familiar to us as we think about calendars. In Advent, we wait for the coming of Christmas, the coming of our Lord, and we open up these little windows, these little doors. This one's all empty because my daughter loves chocolate. And we use this to think, yeah, it's coming soon. What I thought I'd do tonight is open up some windows and doors here on David's palace. As the Lord reveals to David and to us what his plans that night were. And so as I open up the first one here, the first thing the Lord said to David is, "You might have plans to build me a house, build me a great big temple." We've got lots of building plans around the office at the moment, so this one was easy to grab. But God said, "I don't have any plans like that." He said, "I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. Did I ever say to any of the rulers who I commanded, 'Build me a house'?" That's a kind rebuke, isn't it? "This is not my plan, David. This is yours and yours alone. I have not commanded anyone to do this." I'm sure he could have been a lot more forthright, but he was very gracious. The Lord said, "Then, David, really, what can you do for me when everything you have I've given you, and everything you are I have made you?" The Lord said to David, "I took you from the pasture, from the flock, and I made you ruler over my people. David might be the king, but the Lord God is the King of Kings. What can we really do for him who owns everything. And so God actually said to David, here's what I am going to do for you. Here are my plans for you. He said, I'm going to make your name great. He said, I'm going to care for my people and give them rest. And I'm going to bring you peace. Great plans. Great promises in line with all those other promises that we saw God has kept. But then the Lord God went one step further and gave an even greater promise. He said, David, one day you're going to have a son and he's going to be my forever king. He will rule over my people forever. He will sit on your throne and never leave it. You can imagine how excited David must have been by that. An everlasting dynasty. And so, as David's firstborn was born, he was probably thinking, is this the son of David that was promised? Well, David's firstborn never became king at all. One of his other boys did. And yes, God made his name great, and he brought peace to his people. His name was Solomon. You might recognize that name. But he died. And in fact, before he died, in the last years of his life, he didn't even trust the Lord God Almighty. As king after king came, year after year passed, God's people were waiting for the son of David who was promised to God's people, the forever king who would rule for eternity. And of course, that promise was kept too, the night our Lord Jesus was born. He will rule on the throne of his father David. As Jesus healed blind men, some could see him for who he really was. Son of David, have mercy on me. The promised forever king. As we think about these things tonight, how should we respond? I'd like to take our response from how David responded that very night. Verse 17 tells us that Nathan told David this whole revelation from the Lord. I don't think he had windows to open up or anything, but Nathan probably did his best. And David responded in two ways that I think we should take our lead from. The first one is he bowed his head, he brought his hands in, and he said, I am not worthy. He said, who am I that you would do this for me? Who is my family that you would give us this promise? And when he recognized he was not worthy, when his words rang out, then he lifted his head and he raised his hands and he said, how great you are, Lord God Almighty. There is none like you. So as our service continues tonight, we're going to have an opportunity to do these two things. The band is going to come back out and they're going to sing a verse and a chorus of that song, Prince of Heaven, that we've already heard. It's a great moment for us just to lower our heads and say, Lord God, we are not worthy of your goodness to us. Everything we have comes from your hand. But then after that, we're going to lift our voices and praise God. Lift our heads, lift our hands and say, thank you. Lord God, you are great. There is none like you. So as the band sings and invites us to do so, I invite you to do these same things. Head down, Lord, I'm not worthy. Head up, Lord, you alone are. Let's sing.
We can know him, this Prince of Peace, and lot of mercy. Confess our sin. Lay our burdens at Jesus' feet.